Okay, so I want to do an overview of some of the halachot of Purim Mishloach, some of the central figures. I took most of the stuff from Rev Rimon's book. If you saw, Rosh Moldavid was carrying the new version, which is like 10 times as big as the original version from when I was in yeshiva. But this was the original version of Purim Mishloach and Erev Pesach Shkolas B'Shabbos and Bir Maestro, which I don't know why, I mean, I do know why it made it in, but... Anyways, okay, so as we know, or if we don't know, now we know. On a normal year, we read the Megillah in unwalled cities on Yudalit, and in walled cities on Tedvav, which practically in Israel means in most places we read it on Yudalit, in Yerushalayim, in like Tveria, you read it in on Tedvav. You know, we had all, when we moved in to Dagon a few years ago, we had a whole machlokes, because technically from Dagon, you can we are contiguous to Yerushalayim through Beit Lechem, and you can, from certain angles, you can see Yerushalayim, so there was a whole, it was a whole challenge to try to figure out, are we actually part of Yerushalayim? We can see Yerushalayim. We can, yeah. So it was a whole thing, meaning there was someone in the shul who was like very, very convinced that we're part of Yerushalayim halachically. So he like printed out the maps on Google Maps and he measured everything and he showed how we are contiguous all the way to Yerushalayim and therefore we're samach v'nireh. And he wrote to the chief, to Rav Yitzchak Yosef, to the Sephardi chief rabbi, who said, no, you're definitely not part of Yerushalayim. And then he sent a shliach to come and actually measure it, and he got there, he's like, well, on second thought, when actually seeing it, you know, maybe you are. The reason Rav Yosef then came up with a psak, which I don't fully understand, which was, since only Dagon and Tamar are samuch v'nireh, but you're defined as part of the city of Ephrat, and the rest of Ephrat is not samuch v'nireh, so you're busel to the rest of Ephrat, which I don't really understand the whole canon, whatever. It was very interesting, but maybe one day. But the point is, so last year, L'chumra, we did have we had an extra Megillah reading at night, so I listened to the Megillah four times, because, you know, for all people who think that Dati Lumi, modern Orthodox people, are, you know, Mekilim, if you happen to be a Gush guy and learn by R'lachum Tzin, you have all the Chumras of Brisk, even though you're not, you know, Haredi Brisk, and therefore, you know, my reflex is to be as machmer as humanly possible, and therefore, I heard the Megillah four times. Out there in the cold at night, we had someone who was kacha kacha inebriated, went through the Megillah as fast as he possibly could at night. And it was interesting. But this year, I don't have to worry about it, because this year, Baruch Hashem, we all know when we're supposed to read the Megillah, which is on the 14th, on Friday. So I don't have to deal with the halachic problem of, is Ephrat part of Yerushalayim or not? I just have to deal with the problem of how do you deal with Purim on Friday, which is its own set of problems, its own set of practical problems. You know, either having the meal in the morning or Paras Mapa Mekadesh. I asked Reagan's Brick if you guys could do Paras Mapa Mekadesh. She said no. So basically, the two ways in postgame of how you're supposed to do Suda on Erev Shabbos are either do it in the morning so that you're not Koveya Suda too close to Shabbos, or to start a dafka closer to Shabbos, planning to go into Shabbos, and when Shabbos starts, you pause, daven, make kiddush, and then continue your meal. That's pores mapa, I mean, you cover the food, umikadej, you make kiddush, and then you continue the meal. It's a machloket, which is the preferred method halachically. I think more, it's really annoying, because if you do it in the morning, at least after you guys finish doing whatever you do and however much you drink and whatever, and I don't want to know about it, I don't want to hear about it, but Rishon LeZion can order the cleaning crew so that this place won't look like a wreck. If your meal goes into Shabbos, there's now a 25-hour dead zone where we have no idea what's happening to you, and we can't deal with the shul, and, you know, all these things are not necessarily ideal, especially since we want to, you know, be part of the student and then go back home, you know. I have no idea. I don't know what the shul's policy is, right? Meaning, if the shul is open and you have a Tavi Yarok, then presumably yes. But all the guys who had their chitun on Friday would have a Tavi Yerok. Or Thursday. But the one that got Mosi Shabbos would have it starting. Shabbos. But yeah, they would have it for Shabbos morning, not for Friday night.
So there are some people who got it 2 days.
And the guys who got it on Sunday and Wednesday wouldn't be fine. Enochanami. Okay. So that's what the, so that's what we want to deal with. So the Gemara tells you in number one, in Daf Dalet Amud Beis and Megillah, D'chulei Amo Mia, Megillah B'Shabbat Lo Karinon. Everybody agrees that Megillah is not read on Shabbat. My time up. Why not? So why not? So Amar Rabba, Hakol Chayavin Bikriyat HaMegillah, Ve'enakol Bikiyin Mimikra Megillah. Because everybody is obligated in Mikra Megillah, but not everyone is an expert at reading the Megillah. And if this sounds familiar, you will remember that we spent way too much time on this sugya when you guys were in quarantine all the way at the beginning of the year with shofar. Begzera de Rabba. Begzera shema yitlena biyado v'yelech eitzel baki lilmod v'avirena arba ama birshu rabim. And we're worried that you will try to find an expert who will teach you how to read and you'll end up carrying your Megillah in Rishu Rabim behind your time of the shofar. And that's the same reason that we don't blow shofar on Shabbat. V'hayinu the time of Dilulav, and we dealt with both of those other sugyot at the beginning of the year. Correct, Rami? You remember when we did that? Shofar, Lulav, we spent much time on this. And the sources that I didn't give you again were why only shofar, Lulav, and Megillah? Why didn't we say it by Mila? Remember this?
Yeah.
So, do you remember it? Ezra, you want to remind us? Good, so one possibility was that you can't go against an explicit hedder, which even though it appears in the Mishonim, we is more known as the Sheet of the Taz.
And
the Taz Ayadua, yes.
Also because you could say that if you, it was actually necessary to carry for it, then it was
correct. We saw some people distinguish between carrying to perform the mitzvah and carrying and remove the step. Very good. Yeah, you don't know the shake of lulav. I don't know.
Like, how you had that shaking palm drum. Like,
yes.
That doesn't seem like...
Yeah, that shriveled a lot of things. I don't know what you want me to tell you. And we dealt with that beginning of the year. And then, you know, we dealt with different questions, right? So one question was why we only deal with these. The second was why don't we forbid all these things on Yom Tov in general, right? Meaning Yom Tov also has restrictions. So why don't we just say you can never blow shofar? So one is obviously we don't want to get rid of the mitzvah. One answer we didn't address here, but Rav Rimon quotes it from his father-in-law, from Rav Blumenzweig. Rav Blumenzweig is the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Hezder Yerucham. So remember Yerucham? We were talking about possibly getting you vaccines in Yerucham before we got it in Modi'in. And I told you that if you drive into the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the desert, so the yeshiva, and I said there's a really good, very serious yeshiva there, that Yeshiva Hezder Yerucham, or just known as Yerucham, right? And the Roshiva is Rav Eliyahu Blumenzweig. So he gives an interesting formulation, which is, look, you're not going to forget about Rosh Hashanah by blowing the shofar, because that's the essence of Rosh Hashanah. So we're not going to tell you don't blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah because you might end up forgetting the laws of Rosh Hashanah. That doesn't make sense. Meaning, by blowing the shofar, it'll draw attention to the fact that it's Rosh Hashanah. And the same is true of shaking the lulav on Sukkot. The problem is when Yom Tov falls on Shabbat, we're worried that by focusing your attention on the mitzvah hayom of the Yom Tov, where you're allowed to carry, right, because it's Yom Tov, you'll forget that it's Shabbat because you're thinking in the mode of Yom Tov. You know how sometimes this happens, right? Like, you forget that it's also Shabbos because, you know, it's Pesach. right? Your identity in that day is not Shabbat, it's where is my challah? Oh, you know, it's matzah, right? That's the way you think, so maybe that's the problem. Okay, fine. But at any rate, the Gemara says, what you see is that we don't read the shofar on Shabbat, and we say the reason is Zira Derabba. Rabbi Yosef Amar Mibnei Sh'aniyim Sh'aniyim Einehen Sh'aniyim Nisuah B'mikra Megillah. Rabbi Yosef says, no. The reason that you don't read read the Megillah on Shabbat is because as soon as people read the Megillah, what happens? The poor people know it's time to get... Yeah, it's time to get money. That people are generous on Purim, overly generous on Purim, because you're supposed to be, right? You're not supposed to investigate, and you're supposed to give money to anybody who asks, barring someone who you know is a fraud. No. We had this in NYU. I've mentioned this before, right? The guy who we all knew was a fraud because, you know, he would, during the week, he would dress as like a vagabond and be begging, and as soon as he knew that Shabbos came and we didn't carry money with us, suddenly you'd see him, right, in nice clothes, smoking and just hanging out. Yeah, like the guy would pretend to be like a frum guy who needed money when yeshiva guys had money to give him his tzedakah, and as soon as it was Shabbos, he didn't hide it very well. So when that guy asked for things, we did not give him money. But besides that, you're supposed to. So therefore, since people don't handle money on Shabbos, so you don't breathe the Megillah on Shabbos because that would frustrate the needs of the poor. Tani Nami Hachi, the Gemara continues, we learn this in a Braisa, Abvi Shamru Kfarim Maknimin Liyam HaKnisa, Govin Bobayom Umechalkin Bobayom. Even though we say that the Kfarim read the Megillah early, we collect and divide them and reallocate the resources to the poor on that day. Afal Pi Shamru, what do you mean Afal Pi? Even though, Adrala, Mishum Da Amruhu, Ella, you're right, a whole wheel of Amashifar Maxim Legal Maknisa, since we moved the Megillah reading earlier for the people who live out in the towns, out in Milwaukee, Mashiach, I don't know. No, Milwaukee, you have actual cities there. You live in the actual city. What? You live in the inner city. Okay, good. Govin bo mayom machalkin bo mayom mipnei she'aniyim she'enehem she'aniyim nisuot b'mikra megillah aval simcha eina noheged ela bizmana, but simcha, which we'll see what that means, presumably the meal, but we'll get to it, only applies on the day of Purim itself. So this is the Gemara's presentation. So the main conceptual question that I want to deal with, at least today, is, okay, when Bnei Yerushalayim on Purim Meshulash read Mikra Megillah on Yudalid, what is the status of that reading? There's two conceptual ways of viewing it. One is that it's considered kriyah shelo bizmana. Meaning, really, you should be reading on Tetvav, which is Shabbat. But because of whatever ancillary reasons, so we know that there's a mechanism in place called Makdimin, that we can have you read at an earlier time. So even though normally people who live in a city, walled or not, do not take advantage of the rule of Makdimin, and rather they read Bizmana, because of the problems of the reading of the Megillah on Shabbat, even though, in conceptually speaking, that's when you should read it, we take advantage of the mechanism called Makdimin, of reading early. And therefore, Yudalid, for people living in Yerushalayim, is considered Shelo Bizmana, and for people living outside Yerushalayim, is considered Kriya Bizmana. Or do we say that no, when Bnei Yerushalayim, Bnei Krach, read on Yudalid, that is considered mana. Right? It's not conceptually parallel to the people living in little villages who read on the 11th, 12th, or 13th. We know this, right? This, I didn't have to spell that out, right? That's the first mission in Megillah, right? That the people who live in the Kfarim, they would read on the market day. So the preceding Monday or Thursday, we knew that. Okay, I'm just making sure we knew that. So, what would you say? From the Gemara, what would you guess? What would you guess? Is it considered part of the Takana? Is it considered Kriya Bismana? Is it considered Kriya Shalom Bismana? What would you guess? The Kfarim is definitely Shalom Bismana, right? Right? When they read on the 11th, 12th, 13th, that's the definition of Shalom Bismana. But Yerushalayim on Yud Dalid, what is it? Bismana or Shalom Bismana? Right? Meaning it is Bisman for everybody else, but it's not their normal time. So what would you say? Is it considered Bismana or Shalom Bismana? So Rami says Shalom Bismana. Why do you say Shalom Bismana? He says because it's not Bisman. Very good. Okay, why would you say Bismana?
I mean, because you say, like,
right, a priori, why would you have said Bismana?
Because those are one of the two main...
Yeah, because maybe you say it's one of the two main days. Right, so even before you got to the Gemara, you can see it both ways. On the one hand, you're not pushing to a random day. You're pushing to the day that everybody else celebrates Purim. So you might say Bismana. On the other hand, it's not the day that people in Yerushalayim normally read, so maybe it's Shalom Bismana. What about in the Gemara? What do you think? What does the Gemara point to? And you don't have to have one answer. It depends, right? Tell me both for Rava, tell me for Rabbi Yosef. Yosef said it's for the Anim, and therefore what? Bismana, Shalom Bismana. What would you say? Start with Rava. According to Rava, what does it sound like?
So according to Rava, I mean, that's
Bismana, Shalom Bismana. What do you think? Ezra, what do you think? According to Rava, who says the reason you don't read Megillah on Purim, on Shabbat, is because you might carry. What do you think? Is moving it to your Dalit considered Bismana, Shalom Bismana? Yeah, right. I think at first glance, Rabba sounds like a Shalom Bismana. Meaning, because what's he saying? Really, you should read on Shabbos. But if you let you read on Shabbos, you will carry. And therefore, we tell you to read on Friday, which makes it sound like it's Shalom Bismana. What about Rabbi Yosef? So Rabbi Yosef, okay, good. So Rami says maybe he also believes it's Shalom Bismana because it's not intrinsic to Megillah. It's about the poor. But Ezra says maybe not, because since what the Gemara is really saying is that Matan Levyonim and Megillah are intrinsically linked, so maybe the fact that Matan Levyonim can't happen on Shabbat tells you something about Megillah, because they're right; those are intrinsically linked. Maybe.
What happens
when
Matan Levyonim doesn't happen on
Yud Aleph? What do you mean?
Doesn't happen on Yud Aleph?
So Purim on our current calendar never falls. Yud Dalit never falls on Shabbat.
But if it
you'd be Makdim. You'd be Makdim. And then you always, la halacha, as we'll see, Matan Levyonim is not a suffix. Matan Levyonim is always done on the day that you read Megillah. That remains la halacha. That's la halacha. That's la halacha everywhere. In the Kfarim also.
So, I mean,
that's what the Gemara just said. Even the Kfarim, if they read on the 11th, they do Matan Levyonim on the 11th. Matan Levyonim is connected to Megillah.
And so, I mean,
Matan Levyonim is connected to Megillah.
Like, problems of handling money charges, right? So therefore, people won't have money charges.
Yes, I understand the problem, which is, wait a second, what's the problem giving poor money in Shabbat? Isn't that Derabanan? How does that... I understand. Maybe it's by carrying, yeah, I get it. I understand the problem. Yeah, okay, very good. Okay. I understand. So I said, Rami believes that even Rabbi Yosef sounds like it's external to the Takana, and therefore it's considered Shalom Bismana. Very good. Right? Ezra says, maybe not. Okay, so if you look at Turi Evan, the Turi Evan is who? Who wrote the Turi Evan?
Rabbi Ginsberg. The Shagas Arya.
Thank you. Yes. Rabbi Ginsberg, yes. The same person who wrote the Shagas Arya, the Gvurd Ari, same person, yes? Yeah. Okay. So Turi Evan asked this question head on, and he says, Now, the Turi Evan comes at this question from a slightly different angle, which is that the normal rule is that once there's a gzera, is another Beit Din allowed to overrule that gzera? Only if they're Gadol Menu B'Chochmah V'Minyan. Right, only if they're greater than them in number and wisdom. And. Bechokhma uve minyan. Gadol mimenu bechokhma uve minyan.
By the way,
does that mean
like the average intelligence?
No one knows. There's a lot of different sheikhs. I mean, average intelligence, I mean the intelligence of the Rosh HaVeizen. Who knows? And what about all the times where we seem to break that rule? Slight problem. You can ask Rabbi Brody. Okay? Right, Brody wrote his dissertation on this topic. You can ask him. I still haven't gotten around to reading it. I still mean to. I still have to get a copy from him so that I can read it. Because there will be like, I don't know how many people in the world read dissertations, you know. There's always like that small cadre of people who bother reading them. I'm sure it's excellent. But there are people who read it, you know, people who like reading long, long, detailed research projects. Dissertation? Usually. What? Halavai dozens. No, usually I think it's more like, usually they're more like 500 pages. Yeah. I remember when I was in YU, I had certain professors who forbade us from reading it. I had one professor who's like, don't read my dissertation. It is the most boring thing known to mankind. He was an excellent teacher of Tanakh. But he wrote his dissertation only on, I think, light metaphors in Yeshayahu, and it was like 500 pages, which was nothing compared to Kohler's dissertation, which I will never, nothing could ever get me to read it, which is, it was, I think, like 750 pages or something on the Akkadian words, verbs related with metal cunning instruments, and it's like, and maybe also the nouns. It might have been, I think he was like debating if it's verbs and nouns or I think it was like the Akkadian or Ugaritic verbs related to cutting with metal instruments. It was like, yeah, it's not like the type of thing I find fascinating.
Why?
Well, look, there are certain things. It's like, you know, certain people love this. Like I have friends who are really into philology. So the few people who are really into philology can read this forever. I cannot. So I had a professor in YU who's like an excellent philologist, really excellent philologist.
Philologist
studies the history of words and like how they came to being and stuff like that. But like I don't know if it's his dissertation or just what he's known for is like a 2-volume book on whether or not like Shin used to be something lateral, something. It was like I haven't any idea what I'm talking about, right? It was like the history of the letter Shin or something, or Tzadi, or I think he has a book on both. So I have people who really liked it. I can't read it.
How do you
I don't know. I can't do it. I don't have that I can't do it. Fine. So Turi Evan says, so according to Rabba, he says it's not a problem. Why is it not a problem? Because he says Rabba didn't uproot the Takana of the Megillah. What did he do? He set a siyag on top of the Gzeira of the rule of Megillah. Meaning what? Well, meaning what? No, it's not the same. Why is it not the same? Don't tell me why it is the same. Tell me why it's not the same.
Okay, because it still exists.
Because it still exists, and we do this to biblical law also.
Oh, okay.
Right? Meaning he's saying, no one's saying that the rabbis got rid of shofar. They're just saying the rabbis have the right to tell you to, in practice, not to perform the mitzvah. So he says, so Rami says, oh, I don't understand. Isn't this derabbanan to begin with? Not necessarily, because you could say maybe it's different Nevi'im, maybe it's in middle status, I don't know. Solve it however you want. But therefore he says, according to Rabba, one second, he says, the Alpha of the Ain Beit Din Yachol of Adel Beit Din Divrei Beit Din Chavira, O Kedamar Le'el, Gamei Akdam Le'el Maknisa, Hani Mi'ili Shebidavar Shein Yusjag Mishram Dara De Yisura. He said, when we say you can't uproot what the rabbi said, that means when you're not setting up a Sjag, Avo Bedavar Sjag, a few lock or double minute service about that, but we can't stop your dummy. When it comes to when it comes to protecting the Torah, we're allowed to even stop you from performing biblical mitzvah. So we can let you do that with rabbinic ones as well as we just saw. But then he says, skipping down a line, he says, what about the Rabbi Yossi? But according to Rabbi Yossi, there's a problem. Because it sounds like before Shai Taima, the incarnate Megillah B'Shavah M'Shnei Neim Shalani M'Nishyot Nekra Megillah. He doesn't sound like he's doing that. He sounds like they're moving it to help the poor people. Now, if that's the case, it sounds like they're moving the mitzvah itself, and that should be usher. So what's the Turi Evan solution? That according to Reb Yosef, it's part of the Iker Takana, that what Chazal are saying is they're not saying about Takana, they're saying Mordechai and Esther build this into the system L'tovat Aniyim, that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, when they originally set up the Chiyuv to read Megillah, they set it up in such a way that you'd be able to give Takana, and therefore they said Baal Karach Anshei Knesset HaGdolah Atzman Tiktu LaHakdim. So according to the Turi Evan says the question of whether this is internal or external, and therefore, whether it's considered bismana or shalom bismana, right, hangs on the machloket of Rabba versus Rabbi Yosef. Now, theoretically, you could have a different position, which is to say, it's not part of the original takana, but it's still considered bismana because Yodalid is still the normal Purim, right? So you could say it's not part of the original takana, but it's still called mana because when you're moving it to Yodalid, that's different than moving it to your gimel, right? And there's different variations of how you could get to that point. So one would be simply to say, like Rami said, which is, oh, well, you know, Purim is Purim is Purim. I think Rami said it, maybe Yaakov said it. The other way to say it is the way the Yerushalmi says it, which is the notion that Yom Yudalid, and we'll see this, if you want, whatever, you can turn to the Yerushalmi for a minute, number 10, but basically the Yerushalmi has the position that Yudalit is considered Yom Kriya Lakol. It's considered Yom Kriya Lakol. It's the day of reading for everybody. So it could be that Yudalit is different, that therefore it's always considered Bismana, even if it's not part of the original Takana. So if you look at the version here in the Yerushalmi says, Chal lichyot v'chamishi, if it falls on Thursday, kvarim v'ayirag d'alo kvarim bo b'yom, u'kafet choma l'machar. So then, cities and kvarim read on the 14th, which is Thursday. Places, cities with walls, read it on Friday. Chal yod erev Shabbat, if it's on Friday, kvarim makdim en liyom haknisa, so the kvarim read it on Thursday, which is the 13th, v'ayirag d'alo kvarim bo b'yom, right? The people in and out of Yerushalayim, let's say, read it on the 14th. Chaliyot b'Shabbat, if it falls on, if Shabbat is the 14th, which again, according to our calendar, can happen, so Kfarim v'Yera G'dalot, Makdim v'Liyam HaKnisah, everyone reads it on Thursday, U'mukavat Choma l'machar, except for the people who normally read on the 15th, and then they read on Sunday. So the Yerushalmi then says, Bon kumei Rabbi Zeira, Itecha michaliyot b'chachem b'Shabbat, Korib ever Shabbat. In cities with walls, if it falls on Shabbat, I mean the 15th falls on Shabbat like it does this year, so you read on Friday. Chaliyot l'yarot b'Shabbat. But if 14th falls on Shabbat, why don't you yidchu l'yom haknisa? Why do you say go back to Thursday? Say go to the 15th. That's not Yavar. Yavar is after the 15th. So Amar Rav, lo mibnei kavod krachim, shlo yo omrim, reinu krochal v'era korin ka'achat. So he says, maybe it's kavod of the krachim, so people won't think that the krachim and the ayarot are equivalent. Me'ata lo yitchul yom haknisa, shlo yo omrim, reinu kvaririm v'ayarot korin ka'achat. So then you shouldn't move them to Thursday either, because then people will equate regular cities with villages, which is also apparently degrading. Me'ata chaliyot b'sheni, chaliyot b'chamishi. And besides, it can't be because if the 14th is a market day, then we do equate the cities in the Kfarim anyways. Chaliyot b'shabbat, ashkach tani Kfarim v'ayeradu krachim korin ka'achat, v'ayin Kfarim v'ayeradu korin ka'achat. So me'ata chaliyot b'sheni, chaliyot b'chamishi, chaliyot b'shabbat, ashkach tani Kfarim v'ayeradu krachim korin ka'achat, v'ayin tanya v'lonosav afilu b'riyei, so the Gemara says, look, once you move things, you always move it back to the Yom HaKnisa. So that's why we move it back to Thursday. Rabbi Yomar Kulam Yidchul Yom HaKnisa. Etc. So then Rabbi Yossi Kimatiniza Bone Kame Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yossi has Rabbi Zera. Kamadamat Omar Chaliot Likrachim Bishabbat. When the 15th falls on Shabbat, Korim Be'erev Shabbat. Chaliot L'erev Bishabbat Yikru Be'erev Shabbat. Why don't we tell when it falls on when Yudalit falls on Shabbat, why don't we tell you to read on Friday? So again, it must be because whenever we move it to the Yom HaKnisa. So then, second. Oh, did I not put that one line? It could be I didn't put that one line. Okay, well, hold it then. This Yerushalmi will become important in a minute, but it's not. I thought the line was here as well, but I guess it was not. But the Yerushalmi, I guess, elsewhere says, I guess this is Halacha Gimel, I think it's Halacha Aleph, that maybe Yodala is Yom Kriya Lakol. Okay. L'may Nafkamina. Why does it matter? Why am I spending time on figuring out whether or not it is considered part of the Takana or at least Mana? Why does that matter to me? So, Nafkamina number one is that what does the Gemara say, the continuation of the Gemara say in Megillah Daf Hei? What's one major difference between Kriya Bismana and Shlo Bismana? Number two here. Amarav Megillah Bismana Koran Tafil Biachid. Shlo Bismana Basara. Because Rav says that when it's Bismana, you can read with or without a minion. But when it's Shlo Bismana, you can only read with a minion. Rav Asi argues, and Omar Ben Bismana Ben Shalom Bismana Basara. Rav Asi says, you always need a minion. Rav Asi, and then the Gemara tells the whole story that once they were machmer like Rav Asi. Rabachi did Rav really machmer that Amar Rav Yehuda Brei Rav Shmuel Bar Shela Mishmei Rav Purim Shcholiyot B'Shabbat Rav Shabbat Zmanam. When Purim falls on Shabbat, Friday is Zman. Rav Shabbat Zmanam, but Shabbat Zmanam who? Isn't Shabbat the time El Alav Hachikamar? Isn't what it says? Shalom Bismanim Kizmanam. Mazmanam Afilu Biachid. Af Shalom Bismanam Afilu Biachid. Doesn't it mean that when Purim falls on Friday, on Shabbat, so then Friday, when you read, that's considered zmanam. In the sense that you can read even biachid. Whoa! So no, for Mikra Megillah, you still need 10. My Erev Shabbat zmanam. What does it mean, the Erev Shabbat is manam? To teach you that you don't move them back to Thursday. That the Krachim, when you don't read on Shabbat, they read on Friday with the Ayarot, and they don't move it back to Thursday just because it was moved. Okay? So what you see is that the Gemara says, Bizmanam, you have to read with a minyan. Bizmanam, you can read even without a minyan. Shelo bizmanam, you have to read with a minyan. According to the more makil position, right? According to Rav, Rav Asi says you always need a minyan. Right? But Rav Asi says at least shelo bizmanam you need. But the Gemara is not entirely clear whether in the Maskana we think that B'nai Krach, reading on the 14th on Friday, is considered zmanam or shelo bizmanam. And therefore, whether or not they need a minyan. So, to figure out halacha l'maisa, we got to figure out a few things. Why is it that shelo bizmanam yudafka need a minyan? And how demanding is the schiyuv that you need a minyan? And is the 14th considered zmanam or shelo bizmanam? So let's deal with those three questions. One, why do you think Rav holds that you need a minyan shelo bizmanam? Or why don't we start the other way? Why would you say that you always need a minyan? What would the logic be to say you always need a minyan? Okay, good. That's the answer to everything in Megillah, right, Ezra? The answer to everything in Megillah is presuming Nisa. So the reason to say you always need a minyan is just, well, presuming Nisa. Since it needs to be publicized, it needs to be public. That's sort of definitional. Okay, good. So why would you say that only shelo bizmana you need a minyan? Okay, so one, good, so possibly, so what Rami says is, look, when is the right time? The context provides the birchus manes, provides everything you need to make it public, because everyone's reading at this time, this is the normal day of Purim, right? Purim is in the air. So therefore, whether or not there are technically 10 people hearing the Megillah, it is public, it feeds into the publicity of Kriyat Megillah. Okay, fine. But shelo bizmanam, where that's not the case, meaning it's a normal work day. It just happens to be the day you read the Megillah, so you need to go out of your way and make a big fuss to make it clear that it's the Megillah, right?
Well,
or something like that.
I have a second construct, which is, I think it's the angel normally
comes
on
the
prophet.
Sure. Forget Shabbos for a minute. I'm just talking about in general. Shelo bizmana, why would you say shelo bizmana need a minyan? So Rami said, because when the context isn't clear. Okay, so look at the Rajma. The Rajma says, look at his answer. He said, look, Rav always thinks that it's best, obviously, to read it with a minyan, because Rov Amadret Melech, right, it's more glorious for God when things are done in public, and Pirsumei Nisa Berabim, Elishul Hitrichu Chachomim, Lesov L'chazat Tzara Kedelo Krota. But it's annoying sometimes to get a minyan together. And therefore, we don't make you do it. Hilkach, B'dievet, Hilkach, B'shasha, Tzibur Karim, Mevat, L'navodah, V'tamot Torah. And therefore, that's why when the Tzibur is reading, we still tell you that you don't do the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, and you don't learn Torah, because even Rav agrees that ideally you should have a minion, and therefore you should go and hear it in shul. It's not just 10, it's even if you have 100, you try to get as many as you can. Mishum de Rova Matron Melech. And he said, this notion of Rishma Anais is so central, that's why we tell the little cities, the little villages, to go back to the Yomaknesis, they do it all together. So he said, look, you know, when you're moving earlier, right, it's even more important. So, you know, because that's when you really have to create the appearance of Masei. Maybe not b'dieved, but it's still more important. Okay. Is it ma'akev, though? When we say that you need 10, there's two ways of reading that. One is to say b'dieved, meaning bizmana, you can be yotze, you really should go to shul, but if you can't, you can read privately. And shalom bizmana, even if you can't, for everything, scrape together a minyan, too bad, you just can't read the Megillah. Possibility one. Possibility two is that, no. These are just different gradations of lechatchila. Meaning, everyone agrees you shouldn't ideally read it by yourself. Bizmana, it's like nice to read it with a minyan. And shalom bizmana is really, really, really nice to read it with a minyan. But if you really, 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 really can't, then even shalom bizmana is not ma'akev. That is a machloket rishonim. The Rif and others, Tosafot, seem to hold that the stronger position, which is shalom bizmana, if you don't have a minyan, you can't read it at all. So look at the Rif. Amarav, Megillah Bizmana, Koranto Biachid, Shalov Bizmana, Koranto Basara. Verasi Amar Bin Bizmana, Ben Shalov Bizmana, Koranto Basara. Have a Uvda, the Choshle Rabla, the Ravasi, the Acha, the Choshle Rabla, the Ravasi, Kaimalon Kirav. The Har of Yochan, the Kaikavate, the Amrila Kamon. We pass like Rav, like Rav Yochan and Baskins later. Amar of Chiab Rav, Arm Yochan, Akari Megillah, Aktuvavin, Aktuvim, Lo Yasa. That if you read the Megillah in a Tanakh rather than from a separate Megillah, lo yata, v'lo amro ela b'tzibor, there's only b'tzibor, avo b'yachid yata. But yachid you can, ashmim na, the koronoto b'yachid, kirav damar bizmana koronoto b'yachid. Now, from the implication of the Rif, it really sounds like he means this is b'tzibor, meaning, right, because the way he distinguishes is there's Yachid, there's Rabim. You can only read it Bizmana with Rabim, and that's why you could read it, and that's why you can distinguish so sharply between Bizmana, Shlo Bizmana, Yachid, and Sibor in terms of whether you have to read from a separate Megillah or a Tanakh. Other Rishonim, like the Ritzvah, say, no. No one thinks that B'dieved, you can't do it. V'nirin dvarim shlo chalku el-lechatchila. This is entirely on the level of lechatchila, but b'dieved, it's not a problem. So one nafkamina, therefore, is going to be if you paskin that even b'dieved, you need a minyan shalom bizmana. So then that means, what are you going to have to do? You have to get a minyan to read on Friday in Yerushalayim, but not outside of Yerushalayim. Now that's important, because I got a shayla just 2 days ago. Someone said there's a chance that they'll be managed to get in one of these few flights that are coming in from America. And what'll happen?
Quarantine.
They're going to be stuck in a quarantine hotel. So how do they read Megillah? What's the problem? If they put them in Yerushalayim, so then according to Tosafot and according to the Rif, if they can't scrape together a minyan, it's not worth their time to read the Megillah. Right? But according to the Ritva, it is, because it's only lechatchila. Even Rav is only saying lechatchila. So there's a big nafkamina here. Right? So if you hold that A, it's considered shalom bismana, and B, you hold that shalom bismana needs a minion, then he's stuck. But if you hold either like the Ritva, that it's only lechatchila, or you hold that Kriyat HaMegillah and Yerushalayim is bismana, so he doesn't have to go for a minion. He doesn't have to worry about it, right? This is a big difference. So what do we say? So is Yerushalayim considered bismana or not? So if you look at the Ritva in seven next Ritva says, Megillah shel bismana degomer perish Rashi zal hanu yud aleph yud bet yud gimel divnei kfarim. What is shelo bismana? 11th, 12th, 13th. But what about the 14th?
Oh, so that is
right. Right. What about this? So he says, look at the next line. V'achirim pershu. Others say the high shelo bismana hainuk shal yudal devav b'shabbat shakrachim ayarot magdim liyam aknisa erev shabbat v'nachon. But then the Ritva says, and others say, that even when Tedvav falls on Shabbat and you move it back to Friday, that's considered Shalom Bismana. So the Ritva tells you that according to Rashi, Shalom Bismana is only if it's not on the 14th or the 15th. But the 14th, presumably, even for B'nai Yerushalayim, is considered Bismana. The Ritva says, no. For B'nai Yerushalayim, Friday is considered Shalom Bismana. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam in 8 says, Ketzad chal arba asar liyot b'achad b'shabbat, makdimin v'korin b'chamishi shu yom achar asar, chal yivishlish korin b'sheni shu yom shlosha asar, chal yivirvi korin b'sheni shu shnei asar, v'chol eilu shu makdimin v'korin kodim arba asar, ein korin ob b'fachot me'asara. If you read earlier than the 14th, then you need a minyan. So the Yor Sameach makes the deal. What does the Rambam seem to say? On the one hand, the Rambam paskins l'chumra on the question of whether you need a minyan. It sounds like, for the Rambam, even b'dieved you need a minyan. But, very good. But he sounds like he's saying only kodem yudalid is considered shalom bismana. And that's what the Or Sameach is medayik. He says, Yizeh shediyik rabbeinu v'lashon v'chol shem agdimen v'korin kodem yudalid avo b'nei mukafin b'yudalid korid b'yachid v'apilu chal b'shabbat. And he notes that this is like the Yerushalmi. This is the Yerushalmi that I quoted. Second line. What's the logic? Because Yodalit is never considered Shalom Bismana, because it's called the Yom Kriya Lakol. All the Hakdamot are only what we read in the Yerushalmi in 10, when we're going back to Thursday or Monday. But going to Yodalit is considered Yom Kriya Lakol. So again, let's review. Question one. Is reading for B'nai Krachim on Friday, on Yadalid, considered part of the original Takana or not? The Turei Evan thinks that might depend on Rava versus Rav Yosef. That Rava says, no, really you should be reading on Shabbat, but we have an external concern that you might be Mechal Shabbat, so we move it to Friday. Rav Yosef, who says that it's about the Aniyim, that in order to make that zera, you would have to be gadol minyan v'chalkum minyan. So therefore, he argues, no, it must be that it's part of the original takana. Even if you think it's not part of the original takana, so then you have to ask, is yodalit considered zmana or shalo zmana? Rashi says zmana. The Rambam seems to say zmana. Why would you say zmana? Because maybe yodalit is yom kriya lako. Right? The yodalit is objectively parim, whereas the 13th, the 12th, and the 11th are just possible days to read the Megillah, but they're not actually Purim. Ritva says it's Shalom Bismana. Nafkamina is, what about, do you need a minion? So, since Rav holds that Bismana, you don't need a minion. Shalom Bismana, you need a minion. Then you have to figure out how strongly does he believe that. The Rif in the Rambam thinks that's true even B'dieved. The Ritva says that's only the Chatzilah. So now we ask the Shaila. So Someone is stuck in a Corona hotel. In Yerushalayim, they can't get a minion for Megillah this coming Friday. Should he read Biyachid? What are you paskin? Yaakov paskin, yes. Why does Yaakov paskin, yes? So he says A doesn't hurt, but conceptually, what do you have to say? Either it concerns mana, or even Shalom is mana, you only need a minion l'chatchila. Right, so let's see what the halacha is. You're right, don't worry, you're right. You are obviously correct. But let's see. So look at 11. Shulchan Aruch writes, Megillah b'yodalad v'tedvav, tzorech lazor achar asara. On yodalad and tedvav, you should go for a minion. V'im efshar b'asara korendo b'yachid. But if you don't have a minion, so you can read a b'yachid. Meaning, you always have a minion l'chatchila. But, bismana, if you don't have a minion, it's fine. The Ramah says, v'yesh l'stapek im nashim mistarpo l'asara. We have a suffix whether women count for this minion. Fascinating topic, but not for this year. We'll touch on it in a minute, but not the full topic. And if there is a minion locally, but he didn't hear it, so he can read it biyachid, because he sort of taps into it. The Mishnah Brura says, Mr. Brewer understands Shulchan Aruch to mean 14 for people outside Yerushalayim, 15 for people in Yerushalayim. V'rat alomar meaning, av shehu zmano, v'ikha v'shumay nisa, v'lav hachi shakol korintos bizman, afil hachi tzarech l'tzarech l'kabet ha'sarah. That even bizman, ideally you should have a minion. Because of v'shumay nisa, fine. But look down third line. But he says, "Oh, Dmitrame Yom Tedvav b'Shabbat." But what happens if Shabbat is the 15th? Did Tzrichin Amukafin Lagdim look at the Be'er Shabbat? And now they have to read on Thursday. Bivadai Tzarach LeKabez Asara LeKriato V'Zeh Od Chama Yoter Dileka Asara Lo Yevar Chama Kafin Alea. So what does the Mishnah Berurah say? Yerushalayim on Friday. If you don't have a minion, really, you're not Yosei. And therefore, even if you want to read it, like Yaakov says, what could it hurt? What does the Mishnah Berurah say? There's still one Nafkamina, which is, read it without a bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Ikra Din Paskins, that Friday is considered as mana or shalom is mana. Shalom is mana. And he holds the shalom is mana junior minion b'di'eved? Yes. And therefore, even if, well, maybe it can't hurt to read it because you'll be also going to Shem Shitot, La Lacha, he says, since Maker Adini Paskin negative on all those questions, you read it without a bracha. Yes. And that's the Ramah, but yes. On the other hand, many poskim disagreed with the Mishnah Berurah, and if I gave you, for example, number 14, Rav Avadya gives you a summary, and Rav Avadya says no. He says, he quotes the Rav Chaim Zonnenfeld, and he quotes the Prechot, and he says, Sha'ekar d'bnei krachim sh'magdimin l'krot v'yudalat chashiv shafir bizmana. He says no. Yudalat is considered zmana, and therefore, ain't tzarech asara, you don't need a minion. And he says, Shekain Eskima Ladina, that's what the B'nai B'nyan says, Ladina. And he says, V'chein Haroi Ki Halacha L'maisa, that's the practical halacha. And not only is that what you should do, he says, that's the position from Tukachinsky, Ukvar Pashat Hamino Kain, V'ein V'zeh Kol Shat L'Safek Brachot. That's the halacha, and not only do you read, but you read with a bracha. Right, with a bracha. Now there is obviously one more kula, which I don't know if you caught, which is another avenue for kula, and that is the Ra'ivid, which the Shulchan Aruch quotes, which is, what did he say? That what does it mean to not have a minion? That there's no minion in the city. But the Ra'ivid thinks that if there's a minion in the city, even though you can't make it, you can read biyachid with a bracha, because maybe minion doesn't mean that you need to be part of a minion. It means you need to sort of tap into the energy of minionness.
Give us a
So, right, that's what Shulchan Aruch said. So if you look at the base, just look at 13. Just look at 13, one second. Or Chol Chaim comes of a rai, v'echriya. V'omer l'olam bin asara, mi b'makam shi yitzimish karu b'asara, am yeshem yachid, o yechidim, so grim am yuchlik rabbi yachid. Kevin Shaya Be'ir appears to him to create a Sibur. The Ravid says, if there was a minion anywhere in the city, so then the Yachid can read because you're tapping into the Pirsum Anais of the city. So yet another reason to be Mekel would be the Ravid's position, which is, it doesn't mean you need a minion. It means that you need to be in a city where they're being Mepharsim and Anais through Kriyat Megillah B'minyan. You tap into Tziburnis. So therefore, on balance, right, on balance, because of the Ravid and because of Ravadia, whatever, it definitely seems to be the case that the person the Krona tells should read with a bracha, right, etc. Okay? Let me give you a few more nafkaminas that I didn't give you on the sheet, okay? And then tomorrow we'll deal with the Suda question. Good. So we got the Megillah question done in one day. Here's some other nice nafkaminas. One is, next nafkamina is nashim. Kriyat Nashim. Why is this different? Because it's possible that women are only allowed to read for themselves, not as part of a minyan, when it's zmana. But when it's shalov zmana, they need a minyan. Right? Related point. So that might be a second nafkamina, right? According to the Mishnah Brura, therefore you would say that even though women are normally allowed to have their own Kriyat Megillah, that's not objectionable. This year, the women in Yerushalayim would have to go to shul. And Ruchamstein, my Mori Verabi Ruchamstein, paskin that way. And normally he let seminaries do their own all women Megillah reading, but when it falls like this, he told Lindenbaum, right, Rabbi Lindenbaum, they couldn't do it, right? Because it's Shalom Bismana, and therefore you need a minion, right? So you can't, and definitely Lechatchila you need a minion, so you shouldn't, therefore Lechatchila set up a Kriya of Nashim, even though the Yesh Leh stopped it, because as we saw, women might count for the minion here. Others said no, right? Others felt that since certain poskim think that women can be part of the minyan, and because me'ikra din we poskim it's zmana, so therefore it shouldn't be a problem. And I think that's actually the minhag in many of the seminaries, right? It's a poskim like that. Both of them have very like both of them have what to rely on. But that's what it would right. That's what it would depend on. A third nafkamina is the following interesting question. Can you read along with the Chazan, with the Baal Koreh? So normally, which the Chazon Ish says, that in general, if you read along with the Baal Koreh, it's called Kriya B'Tzibur, and the Brisker Rav said it's not. What? It's called part of Kriya B'Tzibur, meaning if you read... No, Kriya B'Tzibur. If you read along with the Baal Koreh in your own Megillah, so you integrate into the Kriya B'Tzibur. The Brisker Rav said, no, you don't. Right? So Rav Rimon notes that theoretically there's be an Afkamina, because according to this, outside Yerushalayim, Bizmana, since Lechatchila you can read a B'Yachid, the only din is Pirsum Anais. So if you're in Shul, right, even though you're reading by yourself, clearly you're part of Pirsum Anais. There's no problem reading your own Megillah. But if you're in Yerushalayim, on Gedalid, since they're either reading with the minion is Ma'akev, or at least a much stronger Lechatchila, you shouldn't be allowed to read along with the Baal Koreh. Right? The Rimon notes that maybe this is only when you're off by like a word or two. Right? Meaning if you manage to be like word verbatim, word for word with the Baal Koreh, so maybe you'd say everyone would agree that you integrate into it. But that's another potential one. The fanciest nafkamina is, you want the fanciest nafkamina? Fine. Someone who becomes bar mitzvah on Shabbos in Yerushalayim. Why? Because if you hold that what? Really, the chiyuv was me'ikra din on Friday, so then he missed it. Right? No big deal. Right? He just wasn't a gadol. But if you say that what? The Friday shalob is mana, but me'ikra din he's chayiv to read on Shabbos. So, everyone else, they were supposed to read on Shabbos, but they were yosei by reading his shalob is mana on Friday. But the kid, since he couldn't have read it at the level of a gadol on Friday, so then he would be the one person, what does he have to do? He has to, no, we have to read it on Shabbos. Right? Because everybody else, okay, because of the Gzeir and the Rabba or whatever, so they read it on Friday. But for him, he has no choice. The only time he's going to claim it is on Shabbos. And therefore, so Reb Chaim Zonnenfeld, Paskin Limaisa, that because Yodal is considered Shalob Bizmana, if a kid became Bar Mitzvah on Shushan Purim and this year, he has to read for himself on Shabbos. Because Yodal doesn't count. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, Rav Buzner, Rav Tukachinsky said, that's crazy. Right? No, you don't. No, you don't. No, definitely for Darabanans it does. For Daraisas you need Shei Sarit also, but for Darabanans it's just by years.
I thought it was something like that, specifically that like we don't have
a... We rely on Chazaka and whatever. For Darabanans it's not a problem.
I don't know, like...
Not for Daraisas. But this is Darabanans, it's fine.
I don't like that, but we wouldn't do that for we don't let
Bar Mitzvah boys... No, I don't think so. Okay, good. So that is the question of Megillah reading. Tomorrow, then, we'll deal with the question of Seuda, which is sources here 16 through 21. If we have time, we'll do a brief summary of Mishloach Manot. So we should be able to finish tomorrow, and then we've got to figure out what we do. Today's only Monday, so then I have to maybe find another Purim topic, but let's... Okay, good.